Bankless Nation, we are going to learn about Celestia. Celestia's token just dropped, and it's been up only ever since inception. Up over 200% since launch, Celestia is now a $7 billion network. Why? What about Celestia is so valuable? What is Celestia's vision for crypto? How, if successful, will Celestia change the crypto landscape? Today on Bankless, we're talking to the two Celestia co-founders, Mustafa and Ismail, to explore the thesis around Celestia. So strap yourself in, put on your learning hat, because we're going to learn all about Celestia today. But first, a moment to talk about some of these fantastic sponsors that make this show possible, especially Kraken, our preferred exchange for crypto in 2023 and beyond. If you do not have an account with Kraken, consider clicking the link in the show notes to get started with Kraken today. Kraken knows crypto. Kraken's been in the crypto game for over a decade, and as one of the largest and most trusted exchanges in the industry, Kraken is on the journey with all of us to see what crypto can be. Human history is a story of progress. It's part of us, hardwired. We're designed to seek change everywhere, to improve, to strive. And if anything can be improved, why not finance? Crypto is a financial system designed with the modern world in mind. Instant, permissionless, and 24/7. It's not perfect, and nothing ever will be perfect. But crypto is a world-changing technology at a time when the world needs it the most. That's the Kraken mission, to accelerate the global adoption of cryptocurrency so that you and the rest of the world can achieve financial freedom and inclusion. Head on over to kraken.com/bankless to see what crypto can be. Not investment advice. Crypto trading involves risk of loss. Cryptocurrency services are provided to U.S. and U.S. territory customers by Payward Ventures, Inc. PVI, doing business as Kraken. Introducing GMX V2, the deepest on-chain futures market to trade Bitcoin, Ethereum, and leading altcoins. With the launch of GMX V2, enjoy the best of both worlds. Lightning fast trade execution, competitive pricing without having to compromise on custody. With 150 billion trades settled on chain and over 500 million in liquidity across Arbitrum and Avalanche, GMX is the preferred destination for DeFi traders and community liquidity providers. Right now, over $12 million in Arbitrum grants are being distributed to traders, LPs, and developers building on GMX V2. There's never been a better opportunity to experience the future of crypto trading. GMX and its ecosystem of integrations continue to move us forward. Your wallet, your trades, your choice. Trade on GMX with the exclusive Bankless discount code in the show notes and benefit from 10% lower fees. Try it out now at app.gmx.io. Celo is the mobile-first, EVM-compatible, carbon-negative blockchain built for the real world. And now, something big is happening. Introducing the Celo Layer 2. It's a game-changing proposal that's going to bring Celo's rapidly growing ecosystem home to Ethereum. Vitalik has shared his excitement for the Celo Layer 2 on the Celo forum, so has Ben Jones from Optimism. But why? The Celo Layer 2 will bring huge advantages, like a decentralized sequencer, off-chain data availability, and one-block finality. What does all that mean? Rock-solid security, a trustless bridge to Ethereum, and more real-world use cases for Ethereum without compromise. And real-world adoption is happening. Active addresses on Celo have grown over 500% in the last 6 months. With the Celo Layer 2, gas fees will stay low, and you can even pay for gas using ERC-20 tokens. But Celo is a community-governed protocol. This means that Celo needs you to weigh in and make your voice heard. Join the conversation in the Celo forum. Follow @Celo.org on Twitter and visit Celo.org to shape the future of Ethereum. Bankless Nation, I am super excited to introduce you to Mustafa Al-Bassam. Mustafa is a co-founder of Celestia and CEO at Celestia Labs, authored the Lazy Ledger white paper back in 2019. We'll get into what that is and what that means, which kicked off the Celestia project. Previously, Mustafa was the co-founder of Chainspace, acquired by Facebook. Mustafa, welcome to Bankless.
Thanks for having me.
Joined by Mustafa, we got Ismail Coffey. Ismail is a co-founder and CTO of Celestia previously. Ismail was a senior engineer at Tendermint and the Interchain Foundation. That's the Cosmos ecosystem. Ismail, also, welcome to Bankless.
Thanks for having me.
Guys, there has been a bunch of energy around the Celestia ecosystem as of recently due to the token launch, putting the Celestia token on the map. In this episode, I want to explore just the contours of what Celestia is, what its thesis is for the future of crypto, and what its role is for the crypto ecosystem. So let's just start at the very high level. And Mustafa, I'll throw this one to you. What's Celestia?
Celestia is a modular data availability network that scales with the number of users on the network. And what that does is that it makes it very easy for anyone to launch their own blockchains and rollups while having not to pay high data fees.
Okay, so this is in the modular thesis of the crypto space. And there's been a ton of just like arguing and debating on crypto Twitter as to like what the future of crypto looks like, especially when it comes to scale. So does Celestia have like an opinion about what the future of crypto looks like, and how does it fit inside mm-hmm. of that own internal thesis?
Yeah, so Celestia was started in 2019 around the thesis that blockchains should not be responsible, or layer one blockchains should not be responsible for computation and execution. Basically, the original roll-up centric Ethereum thesis. The idea that not every single application has to share the same chain, and not every single application has to be executed by everyone on the same chain. And instead, you can separate consensus and execution, and instead you do execution off chain in rollups. And that's the opinion, that's the kind of original thesis that Celestia had. And this was an entire year before Ethereum kind of switched to a rollup centric thesis. I started Lazy Ledger to kind of like figure out how we can rework blockchains from the ground up and create a system that where the base layer is only responsible for consensus and data availability.
Ismail, maybe you can take this and run with it. What does it mean for a blockchain to only be up for consensus and data availability? When we talk about the modular thesis, what are we pulling apart here?
So basically, we're pulling apart, well, Mustafa already mentioned it, kind of. We're pulling apart the execution from consensus and data availability. So if a chain does only consensus and data availability, it means applications post their data, their blocks, their transactions on Celestia, and they get ordered. There's consensus on that order, and then the execution happens in the roll-up or off-chain, like not on Celestia. That's basically what's been pulled apart.
Mm-hmm. Mustafa, you brought up the Lazy Ledger paper. Can you explain the significance of that, and what does Lazy Ledger even mean?
Yeah, so it's called Lazy Ledger because it's a blockchain that is lazy in the sense that it doesn't do any computation or execution. It's just a blockchain where you just dump arbitrary data into it. So it just kind of acts as a lazy or like dumb data availability layer. And the kind of original idea behind this is, well, like I was kind of involved with the Ethereum research space in around 2018, 2019. And back then, people were discussing the kind of Ethereum 2.0 sharding roadmap. And the kind of like missing piece of the puzzle from that was data availability sampling and the idea of how can we scale data availability. And so it was kind of around then that I kind of realized that the core primitive of a blockchain, like what a blockchain fundamentally is just a proof of publication system where you can just dump arbitrary data into it and it orders it and makes it available. And once you have that and scale that very well, that unlocks a lot of power and scale for developers to build their own computation environments and applications on top of it using rollups.
Ismail, what were you going to add to that?
Yeah, I just wanted to add that lazy is a very common term in like CS, like in computer science or programming. And it doesn't only mean that it's just lazy and I think Mustafa used the word dumb. In the sense, it's also like it's actually optimized because it lazily does the execution only where it's needed, right? Like it's not this world computer model where everyone executes everything, like all the transactions, but it's optimized in the sense that the transactions only get executed exactly where it's necessary.
So this thesis from Celestia about just being A, a modular blockchain, and B, being focused on rollups, aka like supporting more blockchains, is very harmonious and synergistic with the Ethereum thesis. So Ismail, maybe you can explain a little bit about like what would you say is Celestia's relationship to Ethereum?
I think it's very like it could be very symbiotic in the sense that Celestia could also be used as a building block for Ethereum, like Valiums or layer twos, in the sense that people or like developers who want to launch like a layer two currently have the choice to post call data directly on Ethereum, which is very like expensive. I mean, it's great for censorship resistance, but it's like not really practical and way too expensive. And the alternative to that is you have a data availability committee, which is rather centralized, right? So, and Celestia is that like sweet spot between that, because now you can have an Ethereum application or an Ethereum layer two, and you post your data additionally on, or not additionally, you post your data on Celestia and use that for data availability. So I think that might enable new applications that are currently unfeasible or not practical on Ethereum through Celestia. We have this project called Blobstream that also posts attestations onto Ethereum, data attestations onto Ethereum. So that makes it very, like, could make it very symbiotic, in my opinion.
What's the property that Celestia has that that Ethereum doesn't have that you're saying is potentially unlocking like new use cases or new applications?
Oh, that data ordering and data availability is really cheap.
Okay,
that's
so we're talking about
that's
fees, transaction fees.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so like the initial block size, and it's not like it could be symbiotic. It is very symbiotic because the initial block size for Celestia is something like 20 times higher than EIP-4844 as well. And I think this is this will add a lot of value to Ethereum as well, because in order to have even with EIP-4844, in order to have a lot of applications that are practical, you need off-chain data availability, especially for these gaming chains that don't need as secure or as high security as on-chain Ethereum data has. And I should also mention, for example, EIP-4844 only supports 3 blobs per block, and whereas Celestia doesn't have a limit to how many data blobs per block. And what does this mean practically? So we've discussed like the technical benefits of modular blockchains, but one of the theses that Celestia has for why modular blockchains are important is this idea of application-specific blockchains. So on Ethereum right now, you have a few big rollups, like you have Arbitrum Run, you have, you know, Optimism Mainchain, and so on and so forth. But my original kind of thesis for Celestia was that, well, we should have many rollups. So it's very similar to the Cosmos vision, where you have many blockchains, except that those blockchains will all be sharing the security. And so you have this idea of application-specific rollups. And that's a very powerful idea that can lead to inherently better products, because what that allows you to do is it allows you to create modifications to things like the EVM or create computation environments that can do things that are inherently impossible without a custom execution environment. So to give you some examples, so for example, there's a rollup on Ethereum right now called Manta, which has modified the EVM to add certain ZK, zero knowledge opcodes, to make things like zero knowledge hold'em possible. So there's like this actual application running right now that wouldn't be economically feasible to run with an unmodified EVM. And then you've also got like a project called Curio, which modified the EVM to embed an actual game as an opcode to the EVM. So they've managed to create like a 0.5 second tick engine for their game, where you can have like a real-time strategy game where if you move your character, it moves immediately. And that inherently requires modifications to the Ethereum virtual machine. And so our thesis with application-specific blockchains, that like we can imagine a world where there might be, you know, thousands or tens of thousands of rollups rather than 5 rollups. And we see this today. There's a project on Celestia called Dimension with 11,000 rollups deployed via Celestia, via this project. And so you can imagine in the future, if you go to L2 Beat, you can imagine in a year or two from now, it's not going to be 30 rollups. It might be 10,000 rollups. And that's going to be inherently enabled by Ethereum L2s posting their data onto Celestia, because those application-specific rollups will inherently be enabled by much greater data throughput and greater quantity of data blobs.
Just to parse something out that you said, so we have a bunch of layer twos that are tinkering and playing around with new virtual machines, forking the EVM, or sometimes even just not even starting with a VPN, EVM, and just having a brand new virtual machine to power that blockchain. But that you can freely tinker with a virtual machine and settle on Ethereum. Celestia isn't unlocking anything there. That's not new. But what you're saying is that the data availability is enabling these things to actually have the low fees to actually have the use cases that the tinkering of the EVM does enable, right? So it's not like you can tinker and change up a virtual machine blockchain on Celestia any more or less than you can on Ethereum. It's just that the cheaper fees due to the supply of data from Celestia just opens up the landscape of when you do tinker with a virtual machine, you can get more use cases out of it. That's the way to interpret this?
Yeah, and also it's the fact that with the IPA44, for example, right, you can only fit 3 data blobs per block. And so you can, like, a rollup can only buy like 100 kilobytes of data at a time. Mm-hmm. So with rollup, you can buy as little as 500 bytes. Mm-hmm. So with that kind of like the minimum unit of data you can buy, that inherently enables Ethereum to have a lot more, to have this proliferation of smaller application specific rollups.
Mm-hmm. Right. So 4844, like three blobs per block, I think. So like three rollups can post like their state root to Ethereum after 4844. But how does this compare to, and so 4844 is proto dank sharding. How does Celestia compare to full dank sharding?
Yeah. So it's not, it's not yet clear how many data blobs full dank sharding will support, or like what the full roadmap is there. But generally speaking, Celestia already supports 8 megabyte blobs, so which I think is like as of today is around half of the maximum throughput that dank sharding plans to support in a few years time. So I think the main benefit here really is through the blob stream bridge, Ethereum rollups. Ethereum can remain a lot more competitive with other layer ones by having access to this much higher data throughput to allow rollups to scale, and also to allow for application-specific rollups to proliferate. And I should also say that Celestia and Ethereum are actually very kind of similar in some sense, because they share very similar values. Because as I said, when I was kind of working on or looking at Ethereum research back when Ethereum 2.0 was still being planned, I was really interested in how to make sharding work. And one of the key primitives of sharding was data availability sampling. And so I co-authored this paper with Vitalik on data availability sampling. And data availability sampling is basically answers the question of like, how can end users or light nodes verify that the data behind the chain was actually made available without them having to download all the data themselves? Because that's inherently required for schemes like fraud proofs or ZK proofs. For fraud proofs and ZK proofs to work, you need to know that data is available. And you can just increase the block size, but that will halve the ability for end users to actually verify the chain. But with data availability sampling, end users can download small parts of the chain. Like if they download 1% of the chain, they can verify that 100% of the chain is available. And so this is very different to other off-chain data availability solutions on Ethereum, like data availability committees. Because with data availability committees, you have to trust that committee in order to make sure that data is actually available. But with data availability sampling, the end user can actually verify that the data is available themselves. And that's basically the end goal of dank sharding. And so like from a values perspective, it's very kind of aligned that like end user verifiability is very important for decentralization.
I know one thing about the economics of Celestia is that the supply of bandwidth, if you will, the supply of data increases the more that people use it. This is a line that I've heard. Mustafa, could you explain how that works?
Sure. So as I mentioned, with data availability sampling, you can have a system where you have light nodes. And what light nodes are is that if you go on MetaMask right now, how does your MetaMask interact with the Ethereum network? Right now, it just uses a centralized RPC endpoint like Infura, for example. But one of the original goals of Web3 is that users should be able to verify the chain themselves without having to go through trusted third parties. And the idea of light nodes and light clients are important to achieve that, because the idea with a light node is that you can run a node locally on your phone or your computer that connects to the network directly and can verify the chain with very little resources using technologies like fraud proofs or ZK proofs and data availability sampling. And with data availability sampling, what happens is every light node downloads a very small piece of the chain. And so the more light nodes you have, the more pieces of the chain they're downloading. And so the more pieces of the chain they're downloading, the bigger block sizes you can have while allowing the light nodes to verify the chain. Because as the property is that as long as you have enough light nodes downloading enough of the chain to collectively, that such that they can collectively reconstruct the block themselves, then you can increase the block size.
Sure. So yeah, the idea is that the more people that are verifying smaller pieces of the whole entire Celestia system, the larger the whole entire Celestia system can be, while having assurances that the whole system is being checked by the collective set of light nodes out there. Is that how?
Yeah, exactly. And this is kind of like a very differentiating point between Ethereum and Celestia and Solana, because people complain about, you know, Solana claims to do very high throughput, but it's got very high validator requirements. Like you need like 256 gigabytes of RAM to run a validator. And there's no way as an end user to easily or cheaply verify that the validators are doing the job correctly. And that's why like the Ethereum community kind of like pushes back against that rhetoric. Well, you can increase the block size, for example, but that would just mean having to increase the resources required to run a full node. But with light nodes, the idea is that you can increase the resources for full nodes without harming the ability for end users to actually verify that chain, because they can use technologies like fraud proofs and data availability sampling. And this was also described in Vitalik's endgame post.
Yes, yeah, I remember that. We'll link that post in the show notes. Ismail, I think I'll turn this one back to you. In the Ethereum rollup landscape, we have all of these different like rollup chain development kits or stacks. Like the OP stack is a big one, of course. Polygon, when they're subnet or supernets, and basically they call them the CDK. Does Celestia have something like this?
So we're working internally on something called Rollkit, which is also a development kit. It's like a drop-in replacement for Tendermint, or Commit BFT, how it's called today. And that enables any ABCI compatible application, which is basically any Cosmos flavorish chain, to be deployed on top of Celestia. But it's not even limited to Celestia. It's like general purpose development kit or infrastructure, as you want. And you could also use it for Avail or other data availability layers, but we're developing it. That's the only one we're developing in-house, but there's a big community that are working on SDKs, for instance, like Sovereign SDK, Dimension, basically, that Mustafa mentioned earlier, can also be understood as an SDK. And we're also working with we have a fork of the OP stack, and we would like that to be like merged upstream, such that you could also use OP stack off the shelf to deploy on Celestia as well.
Mm-hmm. So when we talk about using like a chain development kit like Rollkit and to deploy rollups on Celestia, that sounds exactly what like a lot of the layer twos are doing on Ethereum. Is it really that simple of a comparison, or are there differences that we should understand?
I mean, Rollkit specifically is a bit different in the sense that it is it requires the application on top to adhere to a specific interface, right? But I think all these SDKs, like the beauty of Celestia is like you could potentially use like all these execution environments in one flavor or the other on top of Celestia as well. There's no limit on what you can build on top for like EVMs or any execution environments. So I think the main difference is that in Celestia, we like welcome basically all the whole zoo of SDKs and developer tooling into our ecosystem as well.
MetaMask Portfolio is your one-stop shop to navigate the world of DeFi. And now, bridging seamlessly across networks doesn't have to be so daunting anymore. With competitive rates and convenient routes, MetaMask Portfolio's bridge feature lets you easily move your tokens from chain to chain using popular Layer 1 and Layer 2 networks. And all you have to do is select the network you want to bridge from and where you want your tokens to go. From there, MetaMask vets and curates the different bridging platforms to find the most decentralized, accessible, and reliable bridges for you. To tap into the hottest opportunities in crypto, you need need to be able to plug into a variety of networks, and nobody makes that easier than MetaMask Portfolio. Instead of searching endlessly through the world of bridge options, click the bridge button on your MetaMask extension or head over to metamask.io/portfolio to get started. Arbitrum is the leading Ethereum scaling solution that is home to hundreds of decentralized applications. Arbitrum's technology allows you to interact with Ethereum at scale with low fees and faster transactions. Arbitrum has the leading DeFi ecosystem, strong infrastructure options, flourishing NFTs, and is quickly becoming the Web3 gaming hub. Explore the ecosystem at portal.arbitrum.io. Are you looking to permissionlessly launch your own Arbitrum Orbit chain? Arbitrum Orbit allows anyone to utilize Arbitrum's secure scaling technology to build your own Orbit chain, giving you access to interoperable, customizable permissions with dedicated throughput. Whether you are a developer, an enterprise, or a user, Arbitrum Orbit lets you take your project to new heights. All of these technologies leverage the security and decentralization of Ethereum. Experience Web3 development the way it was always meant to be: secure, fast, cheap, and friction-free. Visit arbitrum.io and get your journey started in one of the largest Ethereum communities. You know Uniswap as one of the largest decentralized protocols with over $1.7 trillion of trading volume, but Uniswap is becoming so much more. Uniswap X is the newest product from Uniswap Labs, which aggregates liquidity across the ecosystem to give you the best DeFi trading experience. The best part? It's gas-free and MEV protected. The best prices? Zero gas and MEV protection all rolled into one app. So head over to app.uniswap.org, click the gear icon on the swap page, and make sure that Uniswap X is toggled on. And if zero gas trading on Uniswap wasn't enough for you, the Uniswap app is now available on both iOS and Android. Start swapping seamlessly with products from the most trusted team in DeFi. Visit app.uniswap.org to get started today. So where would Celestia get the assets, for example? So deploying a layer two on Ethereum, you instantly tap into the market cap of ETH. Like, you get to have USDC and DAI transfer in, you get any of the tokens. So what's the same, like, where does Celestia get some of the just economic power from?
So on Celestia directly, it's connected through IBC with the Cosmos ecosystem. And I think ideally the community should decide on a bridge to Ethereum as well directly. So, but into, like, from Celestia directly, there won't be many like assets in and outgoing, because it just doesn't make sense, because like the applications are who need these assets. And they live on top of Celestia. So there will be bridges. There are like different bridging providers already for these. But ideally, this would also be in happening in a more trust minimized way.
Yeah. So I think like a good way to put it would be that like on Ethereum, the rollups scale the base layer, whereas on Celestia, the base layer scale the rollups. But that being said, obviously, you know, for rollups, bridging is still important. And we do have a very early kind of bridging ecosystem. So there's, there's IBC, as Ismail mentioned. You can have IBC bridges between Celestia and rollups. And then you also have like projects like Hyperlearning. They have a bridge called Dexus, which you can use on usenexus.org right now, where they've actually got bridges right now between, like, you can bridge Celestia to other rollups, including Arbitrum, for example.
So how does the native token of Celestia, the TIA, call it TIA, TIA token, what's its role? How does it make the whole system like work?
So its main purpose is that, like, first of all, it's like a staking token, right? It secures the network the same way as ETH is used to secure the proof of stake network, for like via staking. But the other big utility there is that it is used to pay for the data, right? Like if it's rollup or application specific rollup posts data on Celestia, the fee is paid in TIA.
Kind of like how when a rollup on Ethereum pays to post data on Ethereum, it pays it in Ether. Exactly. Same thing in Celestia. Is there like an economic model, kind of unlike EIP-1559, where the TIA token is burnt, or like what's like the supply characteristics like?
So currently, there is no fee burning, like not an exact equivalent of that. So Currently, the fees are distributed to stakers. Like, they don't end up at the with one proposer, like block producer, but they're distributed according to like the weight of the stake. It's also delegated proof of stake. It's it's a bit different than Ethereum staking model. But yeah, it gets distributed to the stakers or delegators. And but we are thinking about fee burning as a viable way forward for fees. I think fee burning specifically makes sense if there's like a lot of transactions, right? And there's like a fee market, and you like balance it out. And I think that's something that's also on our roadmap.
Yeah, I should mention we have a very similar kind of protocol improvement proposal process like Ethereum. We have a version of IPs called CIPs, Celestia Improvement Proposals, and I think the community plans to make some kind of fee burning proposals there.
Certainly. Yeah. Okay. And just to take an easy question off the table, the Celestia it's a blockchain. And so there are blocks with certain sizes, and there's certain levels of demand for that block space. And then that demand is purchased in the TIA token, correct?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, cool. Is the like economic model for Celestia somewhat similar to like a lot of the Solana people will say that the Solana case for the economics behind Sol is that they make it up on volume. And so like with Celestia, it wants to have not just like a few rollups, it wants to have many, many, many rollups. And so like in terms of like long-term economic sustainability for Celestia, is it like, well, it's never really going to make economic sense if Celestia is only supporting a few blockchains, even if they are really, really big, beefy blockchains. The idea is that there's just so many blockchains and they're all paying a small amount that Celestia, like the long-term economics comes from like making it up on volume. Is that right, the right model to understand this?
Yeah. So I have a post on the forum called the core values of the Celestia social layer. And one of those values is that we should try to achieve economic sustainability through economy of scale. Instead of trying to achieve economic sustainability through artificial scarcity of resources or like highly contested state, because ultimately we're all in Web3 to try to provide products to billions of users. So I think like the healthiest way to be economically sustainable is not through artificial scarcity, but to try to provide sustainable, high quality block space to serve billions of people. And I think if you do that, then I don't see any reason why you can't achieve economic sustainability while having affordable transaction fees.
Something that was mentioned earlier that I want to make sure that we dive headfirst into is this thing called Blobstream. Ismail, I think you brought it up. Could you just explain what Blobstream is?
So basically it streams the data attestations onto Ethereum such that Ethereum layer twos, so to say, can read the data attestations directly on Ethereum instead of like having to read the attestations from Celestia additionally. So it's basically a more, like it enables a more decentralized way to handle data for a layer two on Ethereum. So instead of a data availability committee, you have like a more decentralized solution there while still being very inexpensive. Instead of like posting on Ethereum, that's the main. I think that's, without going too deep, that's the main explanation, I would say.
Is a way to understand this. It's basically like a bridge, not for assets, but for data. It's a bridge between Ethereum rollups and Celestia.
Exactly. So it's like you can think of it as like a one-way bridge. Mm-hmm. You post the headers and these like data attestations of Celestia on Ethereum. That's basically it.
So as far as I know, only Ethereum and now Celestia are going after like the roll-up roadmap. I don't think there's any other like chain out there. Maybe, I mean, Cosmos is similar to this, the app chain thesis. But really, there's no, like, Celestia is the only thing like Ethereum in the sense that there's like one single settlement layer. Ethereum is a settlement layer for assets. Celestia is a settlement layer for data. But these are the only two ecosystems really going after like the thesis of producing rollups and not just a few rollups, like thousands of rollups. And so like, is the kind of, if unless without any new player entering this arena, is the kind of the long-term conclusion for Celestia some combination of Celestia native rollups and then also selling its data to Ethereum rollups? And that's kind of just like the grand scheme of things.
Yeah. I mean, I should also mention that like there are some other kind of rollup centric projects since then. So I think like, for example, Tezos is trying to have a rollup centric roadmap. And I think there's some, you know, early experimentation of rollups on Cardano. I mean, I don't know how that's going, but like Celestia, but wait, what I would say is like Celestia is the only kind of base layer that has been created from scratch specifically with the rollup centric ecosystem in mind. And as you said, like, we're not opinionated on how people use that base layer. Like, the core value here is we want to create a credibly neutral base layer, and you can, for data availability and consensus, and that's completely neutral to any execution environment that builds on top of it. And as you said, like, people are kind of like free to use it however they want, whether it's as an Ethereum L2 or a Validium that uses Celestia as data availability layer for Blobstream, or whether it's a sovereign rollup directly on Celestia or using some other settlement layer. Kind of that's up to the user, because that's kind of like the whole point of modularism from our perspective, mm-hmm. which is that users have the flexibility, developers have the flexibility to choose how they want to, what elements in the stack they want to use. And as any kind of technology stack matures, and we also saw this in Web 2, for example, in Web 2, you had this rapid modularization and software as a service architectures popping up, where users kind of had like these microservice architectures and virtual machines where they can like have different components they can plug and play around with. And so as any technology stack matures, you have a modularization of the stack where developers can pick and choose what makes sense for the application. And that's what we're trying to do. And that's how we see the blockchain space moving forward.
So what are some projects that people can find on Celestia? What are some of the earliest projects that have committed to the Celestia ecosystem? What are they up to? What's just like the landscape of Celestia projects look like?
Yeah, so it's kind of like a wide-ranging landscape. So you have various rollup frameworks that support Celestia. So for example, you've got Dimension. And Dimension is a Cosmos bridge, like Cosmos rollup settlement layer that supports Celestia for data availability. So you can deploy a Cosmos rollup on Dimension that uses Celestia for data availability. And right now they've got an incentivized testnet with around 10,000 rollups deployed. And that, I think that really kind of illustrates the point where we're trying to make deploying a rollup as easy as deploying a smart contract. And if you go to the portal, there's various kind of applications you can play around with deployed on there, like, you know, gaming and NFT applications. And then there's also support for Arbitrum rollups and OP stack rollups. So there's a few projects building OP stack rollups that plan to use Celestia for data availability. So there's one called Manta Network, which I mentioned earlier. It's kind of like a rollup that has certain ZK opcodes to make certain privacy preserving applications like privacy preserving Holden possible. They're already on Ethereum mainnet, but they're planning to support use our OpStack integration to support Celestia as data availability for cheaper transaction fees.
Ismail, when you guys like daydream about potential future use cases or potential future ideas that somebody could build, is there anything that comes to mind here?
I mean, I dream of like basically anyone, like today, if you deploy like an application, you just like have an app store or whatever, you host it in some like cloud provider. I think ideally we'd have something where you can like deploy your rollup, like your small rollup, quickly in a browser and run it with your community, run it with your friends, and like tear it down once you don't need it anymore. So that's basically like a use case. I think like ephemeral rollups, so to say, like is something I would like to see. And maybe something like I think it's been a dream since like, I don't know, early Ethereum days or even before, like have a social network on top of a chain. And I think maybe not not all the whole application and all the data needs to live on Celestia or on chain, but I think to some extent, having an alternative, like a social network alternative on-chain, or like a Web3 native social network, I think that would be really cool. And I think, yeah, Celestia enables applications like these as well.
And so I personally think the killer use case for crypto is still payments, kind of like going back to the roots of crypto. So like Bitcoin was a peer-to-peer cash system. But like, why hasn't that happened yet? And I think for consumer applications, like roll-ups, as I said, like to me, the most important thing about roll-ups is to create a better product. To me, roll-ups are not just about like better scale or decentralization, but to fundamentally to create a better product. So you know how the Solana people, they say the goal of Solana is to have like Web2 scale blockchains. But I think like roll-ups are actually what will achieve that. And I had a thread, I had a tweet about this the other day, but you can imagine like if you had a roll-up sequencer, with a roll-up, you can for example, like let's say PayPal wanted to become a roll-up or compete with USDC or create some kind of stablecoin, they could easily kind of like make PayPal on-chain by making it a roll-up. And that sequencer would basically give, the roll-up would give people a Web2-like experience without even knowing they're interacting with a blockchain. Mm-hmm. Because the sequencer, with the roll-up sequencer, you can get faster finality times than the base layer or any kind of consensus algorithm. So it's like Solana has, you know, 400 millisecond block times, but with a roll-up sequencer that inherits base layer censorship resistance and security, you can have Web2 level finality or latency, like 10 millisecond latency. And I think, and the fact that they can use their own execution environment means that they're not limited to kind of like having to work their system around how the EVM works. So to me, that's kind of like the real beauty of roll-ups, that you can literally just, you're in the future, you basically get like any Web2 application, give it Web3 guarantees, and the experience will be completely indistinguishable from using Web2.
Well, guys, I've learned quite a lot going down this Celestia rabbit hole. There's a motto, a line, apparently, that is in the Celestia ecosystem that I'll ask you guys to explain as we close this one out. What does it mean to have 1 gigabyte blocks, 1 billion light nodes, and 1 million rollups? Can you just explain this this vision, please?
To achieve, like, what Mustafa mentioned, for instance, his vision, like you have like Web2 style applications and all this, you need like a very large block space, right? Like we want to move away from the scarcity mentality and have like abundant and very inexpensive block space. And to achieve that, we want to aim for like massive blocks, but we don't want to, so that's the 1 gigabyte blocks, right? But we don't want to sacrifice decentralization and the verifiability of the chain. That's why light nodes are essential part of our vision. And we want 1 billion light nodes, basically like light nodes running on your fridge and like on all machines everywhere, on your phone, in your browser. So these light nodes are necessary such that the massive blocks actually can be reconstructed in the case of a wolfolding attack, but also we want to empower users to actually verify the chain. That's the 1 billion light nodes, and obviously the applications on top are what matters. So that's the 1 million rollups we want. We already seen this in with Dimension, 11,000 rollups, but we want to make it as easy as possible, such that like even today's Web2 developers come and say like, oh, I can also just deploy this as a rollup. So why not 1 million rollups?
Beautiful. Love it. When you guys are done with this podcast, it's Monday. So they've got a another long week of crypto ahead of us. Mustafa, what's the first thing that you're going to go back and get working on? Like what's the near term focus for the Celestia team right now?
So yeah, I mean, in the short term, we're making various optimizations to the Celestia node software, just to implement things like pruning. So it's like these very short term kind of optimizations that we have to do straight off the mainnet, mm-hmm. pretty much. Like not nothing, the kind of like short term is very boring, like these mm-hmm. kind of like technical depth. But that will enable the groundwork to have things like 1 gigabyte blocks.
Mm-hmm. And then what about the long term? What's kind of the big landmarks ahead for the Celestia project?
1 gigabyte blocks, 1 billion light nodes, and 1 million rollups.
Awesome, guys. Well, if listeners are curious and they want to learn more, where should I send them?
Yeah, celestia.org. there's lots of material on there, and also material on how modular blockchains work as well on solidity.org/learn.
Awesome. We'll get all those links in the show notes. Mustafa, Ismail, thank you so much for guiding us down this Celestia rabbit hole, and good luck. Congratulations on getting this this project out there and seeing the light of day. And I, too, am very much aligned with the whole idea of a million roll-ups. So let's get it done. Thanks for coming on the show today.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Cheers, guys. Bankless Nation, you know the deal. Crypto is risky. DeFi is risky. New chains are always risky. You can lose what you put it in, but we are headed west. This is the frontier. It's not for everyone, but we are glad you are with us on the Bankless journey. Thanks a lot.